Turn with me, if you would, back to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, just under the title for this psalm, you'll notice that it says, A Prayer of David. Don't turn, but Psalm 90 says, A Prayer of Moses. Psalm 72 says, A Prayer for, which translates of, Solomon. Different men were used to write the Psalms. And these were their words. These are the words of those men. They felt this. I've pointed this out to you before, but this is so important. They wrote from their heart. This is what they wanted to say. These were their words. And these are the words of every believer who reads the Psalms. These are our words. When we read the Psalms and enter into them, they are our words. We're saying this. Every child of God takes these words for his or her own. Every child of God. But the only reason that any sinner can say, these are my words, the only reason is because Christ said, these are my words. These are my words. When we read the Psalms, you will hear people say for different Psalms, this is a messianic psalm. All the Psalms are messianic psalms. Whenever we read the Psalms, if we will read them as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what that means when you say a messianic psalm, the words of Christ himself. If we'll read them as the words of Christ himself, we will see the gospel in the psalm. We're going to look at this as our own words tonight, but only after we see the words of Christ in this first. Psalm 86, these are the words of Christ our Savior, Christ our substitute. And if we want to get to the heart of the gospel, it is Christ our substitute. That's the heart of the gospel. Christ being the substitute for his people. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as he is bearing the condemnation of God for us. We cannot imagine what he bore. One of these days we will pass over into, I have a lot of reason right now to think about death and, you know, what we're going to experience and the day of judgment and all of these things. And at that moment, we're going to more so enter into what our Lord endured for us. These right here are the words that were in our Lord's heart. These are the words that were in these men who wrote it. These are the words that are in our hearts as we read it. These are the words that were in our Lord's heart. As he suffered the agony of having all of the sin of his people pressed into him. The holy, spotless one. What an awful thing. All of that sin pressed into him. This is what he was crying to the Father as he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. This was his communion to his Father as he stood on trial, condemned in the sin that he took ownership of. He took our sin, our sorrow, he made it his very own. This was his communion while he was being mocked and spit on and beaten, tortured more than any man has ever been tortured, marred more than any man. This was his cry as they were driving nails through him. This was his cry as he hung in open humiliation. Humiliation, exposed so we could be covered. This is what he said in his heart as he bowed his head and handed his spirit to God. This was his cry while he suffered the indescribable agony of being separated from God. Separated from God. Laying in the grave, separated from God. Now read verse 1 with this in mind. He said, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy." That just broke my heart when I read that. That just broke my heart. How could he say that? How could the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Creator, the inheritor of all things, the spotless one, the sinless one, how could he say that? How could that be him? How could that possibly be him saying that? Here's how. He could say that because he was standing there in the place of you and me. I am poor and needy. In order to save us, he had to become us. He had to stand in our place as us. And that's what I am. I am poor and needy. The scripture says, though he was rich, he made himself to be poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Hold your place right here. We're going to flip back and forth to a few scriptures. Go with me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 6. It says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me." This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Verse 8, he said, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy righteousness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." This is Christ speaking. "And as our substitute, bearing our sin for us in our place from the garden to the cross to the grave," he said in verse 11, "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have compassed me about." Could you imagine trying to count your sins? Could you imagine? And then trying to count the sin of all of his people. Can you imagine? "Innumerable evils have compassed me about." He said, "Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me." The spotless one, he literally took ownership of our sin. And he said, "Mine, they are mine. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Who was that? That was us. That was his people crying, crucify him, crucify him. Some of them were. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Where did he deal with us in that way? In his own son. He was made desolate. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Verse 17, he said, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Flip back with me to Psalm 86. For us, for his people, he said in verse 1, bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Verse 2, he said, preserve my soul, for I am holy. And he is. He is. He is the Holy One. But that word means one whom thou favorest. I am one whom thou favorest. I'm one who you favor. So Lord, preserve my soul. Again, hold your place right here and go with me to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 8. It says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This is Christ speaking. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, dwell confidently. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. From the grave, he rejoiced, even in all of his agony, saying to the Father, I'm resting in hope. I'm resting because I know that you will not leave my soul in hell. You will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will preserve my soul, because even though I'm enduring this for my people, especially because I'm enduring this for my people, I'm one whom you favor. And you won't leave me here. And you won't leave them here. I'm redeeming them from this pit. I am the ransom. You found a ransom, and I'm him. Oh, preserve my soul, he said. Preserve me. Flip back to Psalm 86. Verse 2 says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Father, he says, as you said in Isaiah 42, behold my servant, whom I uphold. He says, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Uphold me. Verse 3, he said, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily, all the day, all the day. Hold your place again and go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 1, our Lord said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. He said, I cry and I cry and I cry all the day. He said, I am not silent. But he said, I know why you're not hearing me, and I know why you have forsaken me. Verse 3, it's because you are holy. Thou art holy, and you must do right. You must punish this sin that I'm bearing for my people. And I bow to that, and I patiently wait until that punishment is over. Flip back with me to Psalm 86. Verse 4, he said, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For the joy that was set before him, he said, Father, it is finished. It's finished. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Now, can we see this? Can we see the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in this? Can we honestly see our salvation? Do we get a glimpse of what it took to save us? You know, seeing everything our Lord endured, what all he did, why would any man think he needed to add to this work, this horrific work? Because this is what our Lord did for us. Because these are his words. These are the words of our Lord on our behalf. Because these were his words, these have been made to be our words. These would never be our words had they not been his words. Had he not done this for us, we would never cry this unto him. These being his words, that's our gospel. If we want to know what our gospel is, it's these being his words. That is our glorious news of salvation. If he did not endure that for us, that describes what is waiting for us. That describes what we will endure on our own. This is our salvation. And because Christ saved us through these very words, we can and we desire to cry these very words to him. Because he cried these to the Father, we cry these to him. Now look at verse 1 with me again. It says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. For I am poor and needy. Because of what Christ did, will you, I know you will, but will you bow down and hear me? Bow down and hear me. Verse 2 says, preserve my soul. This is what every child of God cries. Preserve my soul. When that time comes for my soul to leave this body, leave this earth, and go back to you, the one who gave it, Lord, preserve my soul. In what Christ did for me, for Christ's sake, preserve my soul. For because Christ went through that, please preserve my soul. Verse 2 says, for I am, by your grace, in the one who saved me, I am holy and without blame before you in love. One you have shown favored to, one who you favor in my Savior. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee alone. Save thy servant that is trusting in you, period. Not you plus anything. You alone. You alone. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Whatever we have added to it, we need to do what the Apostle Paul did. Count it all dung and throw it away. It is Jesus Christ alone. It is these words. It is that work. It is that death alone. Please save your servant, the one who's trusting you alone. Verse 3 says, be merciful unto me for Christ's sake. Please don't give me this punishment. This one that I deserve. Don't give me this punishment that I deserve because you gave Christ the punishment that I deserve. Please be merciful to me. Verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. It doesn't stop, does it? We were just here Sunday crying these very things. I cried on Monday and Tuesday. And now here we are again Wednesday. I'm going to cry this tomorrow, Lord willing, if His mercy and grace is good toward me. It never stops. I feel the sorrow of my sin every day. Christ endured this to put away all my sin, all my sin. However many more years I have left, it's going to be full of trouble. It's going to be full of sin. And I'm going to feel the sorrow of it, and I'm going to cry out to Him every single day. Verse 4 says, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Are there any other hands that you want your soul to be in? Do we want our eternal fate, our eternal security, to be in the hands of anybody else but Him? I don't even want my soul to be in my own hands. Him alone. We lift it up to You. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. Everything is unto You. We ascribe it all to You. Your will, do with me what You will. Don't we say that? As painful as that is sometimes, as painful as that providence can be to us sometimes, we know it's for good. Your will, Lord, Your work, Your salvation, we ascribe all of it to You. All of it to You. All right, now that was our intro to this message. All right, we have just finished the intro. The whole reason I wanted to be in this psalm tonight was because of verse 5. Everything that we just set up, everything we just clarified, everything we just declared, everything with all of these scriptures that we just proved, because of everything that we've seen now, we can know with confidence that verse 5 is so. This is the conclusion, because of everything we just said, everything we just saw, this is the conclusion we can come to. This is the only conclusion God's people can come to. That's what I titled this message. This is the only conclusion we can come to. Verse 5 says, Thou, Lord, art good. Thou art good. And ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Here is the body of our outline. Don't worry about how long the intro is and how long the body is. Here's the body of our outline. 3 points. The Lord is good. He is ready to forgive. And He is plenteous in mercy. Because of that, because of everything we just read, everything we just saw, the Lord is good. in his dealings with us right now for the rest of our days. The Lord is good. He is ready to forgive. Do you ever need forgiveness? And he is plenteous in mercy. Our intro has already proven that. All we have to do is look to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will clearly see the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is giving. The Lord is kind. I've entered into the fact so many times that we have an adversary. He is not the Lord's adversary. He's ours. He's the Lord's created pawn. But he's our adversary. And he's not good. He's stronger than us. And he's not good. What if he was the all-powerful one? Thank God he's not. The one that is all-powerful, the one that no one can overrule, the one that no one can dethrone in his character is good. Aren't you so glad God is good? He's so generous. He's so giving. He's so kind. He has been, he is, he will forever be in the person of Christ our Savior. In the person of the Son. He has given all spiritual blessings to us in the person of Christ our Savior. The Lord is good and ready to forgive. Ready to. I love the fact that he's ready to. It means quick to. He is quick to forgive. It's immediate forgiveness. The word means diligent to. He will forgive us and forgive us and forgive us. He's diligent. He's diligent. He's diligent. The word means willing to. It is the desire of his heart. Listen to this verse, all right? This is just a precious verse. This is Isaiah 38, verse 20. It says, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." He was ready to forgive me. The Lord is good. He is ready to forgive. And he is plenteous in mercy. He has so much mercy reserved in the blood that he poured out to cover all of our sin. There is so much mercy in that blood, mercy will never run out. It will never run out. We are so, I don't know how to word this, but we don't give his mercy enough credit. We say, "Lord, save this city," and we think in our minds, that's, boy, that'd be almost an impossible task. No, it wouldn't. Speak the word. Mercy, just mercy, mercy in the blood. Sinners who have been plunged in the blood of the Lamb will never run out. There'll never be a lack of mercy. Never. No matter what sins we carry out the rest of our life, all of them will be covered in the blood of God's mercy. I am so glad to know that. Sin, awful sin, vile and wicked sin, fleshly sin, every time covered in the blood of God's mercy. Every time. It'll start over brand new every single morning. Whatever we did yesterday, today starts over with mercy. Covered in mercy. Like our brother said, how much mercy does the Lord have for me? It's infinite. It's infinite. Greatest news a sinner will ever hear. Verse 5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Who will call upon the name of the Lord? He is that to all who call upon him. Who will call upon the name of the Lord? Here's the answer. Whoever the Lord causes to call. in His goodness, in His grace, in His forgiveness, in His mercy, whoever He lays hold of and causes them to call on Him, that is what they will receive from Him. They will receive goodness. If He lays hold and causes them to call on Him, that is His goodness. That is His forgiveness. That is His mercy. That's the evidence He's already poured it on them. But that's what they'll receive from His hand: goodness, forgiveness, and mercy. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'm a sinner, and that's good news to me. That is good news to me. All right, let's all stand together.